So this week's parsha is Parshas Truma, the week that we talk about the building and the constructing of the Mishkan, of the tabernacle, the small base of Mikdash, Mishkan Mikdash, of in the time of the desert. And the Torah speaks about V'yichali Truma, you should take from me a Truma, you should take your tithe from me, and we should build a Mishkan. In sequence, the way the Torah describes this, and this is also debated, but in actual sequence, the way that the Torah describes it is that after the story of last week's parasha, which is the event of receiving the Torah, parasha Sisra, right? So after this event, in chronological order, the next thing that occurs is that the Torah describes now the building of the Mishkan, of this tabernacle, of the base of Mikdash, the small base of Mikdash. And the sequence is, and this is the way the Ramban learns, and this is also the way the Zohar learns, is that the building of the Mishkan, the creating of this sacred space of the Mishkan, is a recreation of the Matan Torah experience. The Matan Torah, the giving the Torah, they experience a tremendous high. They experience a transcendental experience of a synthesis of their senses, where everything was received and what they saw, what normally heard, and they heard what normally saw. And they experience the ultimate mystical spiritual experience, a collective mystical experience. And now Hashem says that in order to bring this experience, this high, into a tangible and practical reality, you should build a Mishkan to replicate the vision and the experience that they had on a spiritual level into real space. This is a general idea of Truma. Again, like the Zohar says, that this is, we have to read this in sequence, not that this story happens after the sin of the golden calf, and it's sort of a response to the golden calf, but on the contrary, that it's the original plan. Maybe according to Zohar, wasn't told to Klal Yisrael until later on, but this is the original plan, that they should recreate Sinai, the Sinai experience, in real time, in real space. The Zohar in this week's parsha is a very long Zohar, a very mystical Zohar. There are different parts of the Zohar. The one of the famous books within the Zohar itself, Safed Tzniusa, this hidden mystical book, the book of humility, the hidden book, which is a very dense book, and it speaks about partsufim and talks about this idea of face to face versus back to back. But and the Zohar talks a great length in all the Kliya Mishkan, all the holy sacred objects and what they represent. But we'll just start with one nakudah to bring out one point from the beginning of the Zohar, where the Zohar speaks about this week's parasha of Truma. So the pasuk says, "V'yichali truma you should take from truma." Then it says, "Zayis truma shetichom meitom." These are the truma that you should take. These are the tithings. Torah mem. This is the tithings, the lifting up that you shall take from amongst them. And the pasuk continues, "Zav kesef and echoshes," and it lists out 13 different objects that has to be taken, from gold to silver to copper, and to different colored dyes, to blue dyes and purple dye, and it gives a whole list and description of the objects that will be essential to creating the Mishkan. And so the Zohar pauses on this pasuk. It says, "Ashatikhu mi'itam," you shall take from amongst them, not mi'itoi. It's a singular, "Ashatikhu," you shall take from them in a plural. So Tei Daganilon, these are two levels. And the Zohar goes on to explain that what does me'itom mean, from them? So the Zohar says that me'itom, from them, is me'es, from mem. Me'itom is spelled mem, aleph, tof, mem. So me'es, mem. What is the mem? The Zohar says this is the level of tzaddikim. There's a dar de tzaddikim, there's a place with a house of tzaddikim, and they should take from this madrig, for this level. The Zohar also then continues to say that me'itam, from them, corresponds to the six spheres, the midos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the spheres, the chesed, givura, tiferes, that's what you said, you should take from the spheres, from the divine compassion, from the reflection of these spheres, of these emanations. And then the Zohar says like this, that what does me'itam also mean? Da, me'itam. So it means that you should take from the Zimna v'Shabbatim, that you should take from the times, which means from the Yom Tovim, from the holidays, and Shabbos. The Kula Raza Chad, this is all the secret of one. And the Zohar goes on to explain that when the Torah describes the materials that you should build a Mishkan from, whether it's Zav, Kesef, and Chayshas, for example, Zav is gold. So the Zohar says that Zav refers to the Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah. Because Zav is Gevura. Gold represents a harsh, stronger color, reddish color, represents Gevura. So it's Rosh Hashanah as a time of din, time of judgment. And then Kesef, which is Chsadim, which is silver, represents kindness and giving. That's Yom Tov of Yom Kippur. Nechoshes, copper, is Sukkis. There says Tchelos, for example, the blue dye, which is Tichlok, Kaloyim, that expression and desire, longing is Raz Demnusa. This is a secret of Amunah, a secret of faith. So this is the blue color is Pesach, and Argamon, and the purple color, which is the harmony between these two, between Ches and Gvura, is Shavuos. And then where it says Sheish Ezim and all the other things that it's mentioned, so as I said, this refers to the 10 days of Yimei Tshuva, the Seder Yimei Tshuva, the 10 days of Rosh Hashanah Kippur. So Zohar goes on to explain this a little bit, explain how the holidays, the Yom Tovim of the year, correspond to the materials that the Torah talks about at the Shabbos. And then the Zohar concludes, but Kigavda Din Misyachnu Leilo, this is a famous thing that we say, many of the customs to say on Shabbos, Friday night, instead of Mevadlikim, Kigavda Din Misyachnu Leilo, just like all of these spheres, all of these elements, all of these particular divine expressions are misachdim leilo, are unified in the world above. The same thing also, they're unified in here below. To be one with one, to connect with one with one. So what is the Zohar saying? The Zohar is saying that when we look on a very pshat level, or almost more superficial level, if you wish, we look at the words of the Torah, when the Torah describes the building of the Mishkan, so the Torah is actually saying, you need these are the physical materials in order to build the Mishkan. In order to build this Mishkan, you need these materials, Zav, Chesem, Nechashas, etc. These are gold, silver, and copper. These are the materials that you need. So the Zohar takes this idea and says that when the Torah talks about objects in the world of space, this also refers to in the Nefesh Adam, Tichum Itum, you should take from amongst them. The tzaddikim, the place of the tzaddikim, that means in the nefesh, in the consciousness of people. There's also the idea of Zav Ches, Ches, and Chayshus. There's also the idea of all these elements and all these materials, whether it's gold, which the Zohar doesn't say this over here, but whether gold represents the Midah, we said is Gvura, so gold is the attribute of Yiras Hashem, the awe of Hashem. And Ava is Nichsam Kam Kalsa Nafshi, the Kesef, that money, that silver represents kisufim, which is chsadim, which is kindness, which is compassion, which is av, which is love. So that's another midah. And then nechoshes, which is copper, represents midah of tiferes, which is a synthesis, the yichud din av v'yira, or tichla, the madrega of tichla, the level of the blue dye, which is kloy, which is the midah of malchus, which is the attribute of malchus, is the idea of a munaros, the minusa, the Zohar says. So what you find in the world of objects, in the world of space, is also true in the world of the nefesh, within the consciousness. So everything that is true in the world of space is also true in the world of consciousness, in the nefesh. Everything that is ba'olam is also the nefesh. The same thing also the Zohar says, and this is the Zohar more clearly expresses this idea, is that everything that is true in the world of space is also true in the world of time. So you have Zav, Chesem, Chosh, Tchelos, Argam, and all these objects, these materials that they brought to the Mishkan. So the Zohar says that that's also true in the Yom Tov, in the holidays of the year. That there's different Yom Tov. That there's a Yom Tov that's connected to gold, which is Rosh Hashanah. There's a Yom Tov connected to Kesef, which is Yom Kippur, to silver, to Yom Kippur, and Chayshus. It's the Sukkis, and then Tchelos is Tchelos is Pesach, and Argamon is Shavuos. So whatever the Torah is talking about, these materials on a physical level, in terms of space, is also true in the level of consciousness, and also true on the level of time. So anything that exists within the world of time also exists within the world of space. Everything that exists in the world of time and space also exists in the world of consciousness, and vice versa. Everything that is consciousness also exists in time and space, and everything within time also exists in space and within consciousness, because they're all interconnected, they're all essentially one. They're all drawn out from the oneness of Hashem, From the singularity that emerges time, space, and consciousness, Olam Shana Nefesh, the way the Sefer Yetzirah speaks about this, so therefore they're all essentially in one space. So in the world where everything is emerging into separation, in the world of Pirud, the world of separation, even the way that Esospheres, the way the 10 spheres, Esospheres like Gnosis, with the way the Esospheres exist, even in the pre-symptom state, before the contraction of the infinite life, it means it exists within the Ein Sof, within the infinite self, the Koach HaGvul, the power of potential, of finitude, within the Ein Sof, the infinite. There is the idea of separation. There's the idea of pure. And in a world of separation, every single thing exists separate from each other, just like objects, physical objects. Exist. There's gold and there's silver and there's copper, and each one is its own material, and they don't leak into each other. There's the material of gold, the material of silver, the material of copper, or the dye of blue and the dye of purple, etc. Each one has its own distinct space. The same thing also is the world of time, that there's a rhythm of time and there's particularities of time. There's the rhythm, the movement of time, and there's a time that it's Pesach, which is the beginning of the new year, beginning of the year, the lunar calendar, Nisan. And then there's the time of Tishrei, which is the seventh month of the year, which is Rosh Hashanah and Kippur and Sukkot. So each one has its own distinct time. These are mark moyadim. Moyadim is an encounter within space or within time, like the oil moyad. Moyad is an encounter of Yom Tov. It's called a moyad. Within the rhythm of the cycle of the year, there's a particular mark time, which is time. There's a divine opening. There's a cosmic opening for Pesach, for the light of Pesach to shine in this world, the light of redemption. And there's a time of the year where the light of Rosh Hashanah, the Oyer Rosh Hashanah reveals in this world, the light of judgment and the light of Yom Kippur, the light of forgiveness, the light of Sukkot, which is the light of protection. That's the there's a cosmic opening of a new type of light that's revealed within the particularities of the year. The same thing also with the world of Nefesh, the same thing also with the world of consciousness. There are different madrigas, different levels of people's consciousness, really based already on a medrash, but Ari speaks about this in great length, in Shaar Gugulim, which means that there are different souls that are rooted in different parts of the Adam Katman, the primordial man. There's certain neshamas that are connected to the mind of Adam, certain connected to the heart of Adam, certain souls are connected to the feet of Adam, and that's corresponding to a certain type of incarnation. Every person has to evolve, and Bezorah Tveh has to articulate that particular part of who they are. They have to know who they are. What's the shoyash of neshama? What's the root of the neshama? If your neshama comes from the place of the mind of Adam, then you have it's cerebral and then it's intellectual. If you're neshama, your soul root comes from the hands of Adam, then it's about dexterity, about physical doing actions in this world. And every person has a shoresh neshama. This is the way things are divided. This is already in the world of period of separation. So there's a period of makim, there's a period of space, there's a period in zman, there's a separation of time, and there's a separation also in consciousness. This is all post chet eitz hadas. This is after the eating from the tree of knowledge, that causes the separation. But in a pre-state of Chet Eitz Hadas, which in a pre-state already before everything, in its primordial state, everything exists as a singularity. And then when that singularity, it divides itself into separation of time, space, and consciousness. And same thing also in the Shemus Yisrael, with the souls of Israel. The same thing also with time, with the space, and consciousness. However, Kegav, the Nimisachad Le'elam, says the Zohar, just like the 10 spheres, the separation, the world of separation, the idea of pure is Misach Le'ela, is unified in the place of oneness in its root. Same thing also, we can live in a place where we draw the pratim, the specifics, the details, the world of separation into the world of Achdus. This is a Shem Echad, the oneness of Hashem. Not Hashem Yachid Boilamai. Hashem is a singularity in this world. It's a singularity pre-creation, pre-individuation, pre-separation. And then there's a highest level of Yichud, the highest level of unification, which is Echad, which is one, seven, and one, and eight. And then the four corners. So the word Echad means that is we're drawing all the particularities in this world, we're drawing them into the oneness of Hashem, into the oneness, into the place of the unity. So it's not the elimination of the individuality. And it's not that there's no individuality. On the contrary, there's the fullness of an individuality, the fullness of this particular time, this particular space, and this particular person, in a sense, in a harmony with all other times with all other space, with all other consciousness, it creates a sense of unity. So b'makom ha'yichud, in the place of unity within time, and let's say within consciousness and within space, everything, let's if we talk about in the world of time, everything that will exist in the future already exists in the present. So not only everything that happened already in the past, this idea of, let's say, some type of image of this or a metaphor of this would be the conservation of energy, that everything that happened in the past already still exists in some form in this world, because nothing is lost in the universe. That means everything in the past is present. That's one madrig, but there's something even higher than that, which is from the place of the place of the unity, the place of echad, when everything returns back to the place of unity, not only is the past in present in this very moment, but our future is also present in this moment. What Alter Rebbe writes in Tanya, for example, Perich Hafei, what Alter Rebbe writes and speaks about the Maisa Mitzvah, that a person does a mitzvah, it's Nitzchias. That when a person does a positive deed in this world, a mitzvah, it connects to the Ein Sof, connects to something that's transcendent. So this thing is Nitzchias, this thing is everlasting. So Nitzchias, most times, when we think about something that's Nitzchias, what it means is everlasting means that when you do something today, the effects of your action will be felt for all eternity. That's one level of understanding Nitzchias, which means from the present moving forward. So therefore, whatever moment you're in the present, you'll say everything that you did in the past, every positive thing that you did in the past will live on, and therefore it's as if you did this positive thing right this moment. That's true, but Nitzchias is even actually deeper. Nitzchias means that everything that you will do in the sequence of time where you're still in the present, but you will do in your future, has an imprint on the present moments. Is already from the place of Yichud happening right now. It's not only everything you did in the past is occurring right now, but everything of your future is already in your present. Which means that there is shimu, the effect that something is oisaration, something that makes an effect, something that makes an imprint, an indent, is not only that our past indents and affects our present forever, and the positive action in the past for eternity will affect our present and any present moment, but the reshima also is retroactively, which is something that we will do in our future, some positive thing that we will do in our future, something that's connected to the world of Nitzchias, the world of eternity, the world of Ein Sof, the world of infinity is already present within our present moment. So what does this mean in the Nefeshah? What is it actually, how does this translate into our own states of consciousness and our own way of living in this world, in an avodas Hashem, in a personal service of Hashem? So famously, and this is brought down many times in the name of Chazal, the name of the sages, although it's only found in the Al Shechin already in the 1500s, but it's brought down Hashem Chazal, that also in the beginning of Shat B'Soichem, when the Torah says, in this week's portion, this week's Torah reading, that Torah says, Hashem says, also in the Migdash, you should make for me a Migdash, you should make for me a sanctuary, and I should dwell therein. So also in the Migdash means, that I will rest in every single one of you. That Vasili Migdash is not only a collective command, that we should collectively, that Klal Yisrael as a collective, should make the base of Migdash, which is a mitzvah on Klal's base Yisrael, all of the house of Israel. Everyone is behooved to participate on some level. Even women are obligated. Everyone's obligated to build a base of Mikdash, even though ain't boy nimalai, you don't build a base by night, but it's a general mitzvah that it's obligated of everybody. It's like sort of like the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, the kol base Yisrael mitzvah malav, just like the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. It's a little bit different, but the Rama writes that everyone, kol base Yisrael, everyone's obligated. So this is a klalistic mitzvah, a general mitzvah. But also, v'shachati b'soichem means that there's an individual, that my body, my there's a mitzvah that I should sanctify, v'shachati b'soichem, I should create a base of Mikdash, a Mishkan in my own life. Or as Rabbi Elazar Askari, who was a contemporary of the Al Shech, also a Talmud, Al Shech was not really a Talmud, but also a Talmud of the Ramak, Rabbi Elazar Askari writes in Sefer Chredin, that b'lavavi Mishkan Evna, that in my heart I will create a Mishkan, I will create a sanctuary for you. And that's the personal obligation. The personal obligation is that our lives should be a sanctified place, that Hashem should rest with the Seichel Lechad Lechad in our lives. So this is the way a person has to live their life to sanctify Hashem's name, to make their life a temple, their body a temple, and a Beis HaMikdash through which is Hashem's Shechina, the resting of the Shechina. So let's think about this in terms of time. A person, we say that lo yidach mena nidach, that the soul comes down to this world, even in its own particular incarnation, that even if a person doesn't reach their shleimus, a person doesn't reach their gemara tikkun, their end of their tikkun in this person, in this own life, is lo yidach mena nidach, nothing will be rejected. And eventually, all soif loss is tshuva. Eventually, the souls will do tshuva. Everyone will return. Everyone will become authentic. Everyone will reach their highest level that they can possibly reach in this world. If it's not in this life, it's next life and next life. But eventually, everyone will reach a tikkun. Everyone will reach a gemara tikkun. Everyone will reach a place of perfection. This is not only in many incarnations throughout different lives, but even within a person's incarnation, within their own life. We spoke last week. There's different the gugulim within a person's life as well. That there's a certain place that you're at in your life. There's a certain space that you're at. And you're struggling, let's say a person is struggling with anger, or a person is struggling with being judgmental, or a person is struggling with Shmir Shabbos, with keeping Shabbos, whatever the struggle is, but on Lechaveh, but on Lamakim, it's between man and man, between man and God. And the one way to look at your life is that you'll say, I'm struggling today. I'm a 35-year-old person, a 45, a 55, whatever your age you are, I'm struggling now. And hopefully, I know the Seif Lass is true. Eventually, we'll do true. Eventually, I'm going to get to the place. And hopefully, eventually, I'm going to reach a point in my life that I get to the place that I want to reach. And maybe when I'm older. So I'm going to work really hard and work really hard to get to the place that maybe I'll reach some type of shlema, some type of completion or wholeness when I get into a certain state, a certain life, when my life evolves to a higher place. So what are you saying? You're saying really that I'm not there yet, and I have a vision of what I could become, and I have a vision of what I will achieve in this world, and eventually I'll get there. Comes along the Zohar, and the way that Zohar is explaining this idea that the time, Zman, from the point of the world of Yichud, not only is your past affecting your present, and the life of the past is present in the present moment, but your life of the future is also present in the present moment. Which means that if you're working, if you know, and you will, and eventually everyone will, and every soul reaches tikkun, every soul reaches its place of completion. If the places that you're going to get to is eventually, the place that you're going to get to is a place of shleimus, so your shleimus, your future self, is already present in this moment. So instead of thinking of yourself as someone that's becoming eventually to get to my future self, another way that a person can serve Hashem, another way a person can serve himself and serve the betterment of himself and in terms of refining his own midas and refining himself and elevating himself or herself, is to think about your potential that you will reach eventually as something that you're already attained now. So when you have the vision of who you're going to become, what, and let's say you're struggling with certain things, you say, I hope one day that I'm going to get to a place where I'm going to be able to learn, let's say, Gemara on my own. Let's say a person is struggling with that. I'm able to learn Torah on my own. I hope that one day I'm going to get to a place where I'm going to be able to daven, to pray in a way that it's gonna feel natural and organic, and it's not gonna be so much stress and anxiety. It's gonna be I'm waiting to get to a place where I feel expansive mind, where I feel moichin de galus, I feel expansive mind, I feel expansive consciousness, and one day I hope to get to that place, and eventually, Mirtz Hashem, you will get to that place. Comes along this teaching and says that you should know from the world of achdus, you already achieved it, because your future is in the present. And now what you have to do is uncover with the avodah, the work that you have to do, is uncover the person that you will become in the future right now. But that just gives you a different way of looking at yourself and looking at your struggles and looking at your life. When you say, I hope that one day I'm going to get married, and I hope that one day I'm going to be able to learn, and I hope that one day I'm able to daven, and I hope that one day I'll be a Baal Chesed, and I hope one day I'll reach a Moichan de Galus, I hope one day I'll be a Chalas Amadas, I hope one day I'll have Yeshua Das and have the settlement of the mind, I hope one day I'll get there, and I'm striving to get there. comes along the Zohar and says, you're there. Because if you're going to get there, and Emirat Hashem, you will get there, that means you already have the accessibility in the present, because the past of who your future will become is already present in this present moment. And that's a higher way to live, in a way that the tzaddik, and this is what the Zohar says, that the tzaddik, that the imitam is the madrega of the tzaddik, the level of the tzaddik, that everyone eventually reaches a place, but through this world, the next world, through the refinements in the afterlife, eventually everyone, every neshama is ruach tashma l'kim l'shon nesana. Eventually, neshama, the soul returns back to its source, to its original space, and the place of holiness, the place of yichud, the place of oneness. So our future is already present in our present moment. And the way a person can live is not only saying that I'm going to get there and struggle to get there, but a person can open themselves up to the awareness that if I'm going to get there, then it means that deeply I'm already there right this present moment. Have a lichtige Shabbos.